A very good morning to you all, and welcome to day 16 of our 40 days Lenten reflections and prayers. Our text for reflection is Galatians 4:12-21. I plead with you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I became like you. You did me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. And even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. Where then is your blessing of me now? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may have zeal for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, not just when I am with you. My children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tune, because I am perplexed about you. I became like you, now become like me. In Galatians 4:12-21, Paul is longing to rescue the Galatian Christians from the heresy of false teachers who placed the law of Moses over love for people. In verse 12, Paul tells them, "Become like me, for I became like you." Paul was a Jew who lived by all the laws of the Jews, because he thought the law made him righteous in the sight of God. At that time, he despised the Gentiles because, according to him, they lived by their own laws of immorality and senseless freedom. But when he met Christ personally, Paul changed. He understood that God is gracious and loves all people and will receive all those who come back to him through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. So Paul became an apostle to the Gentiles. In serving them with the gospel, he broke every law in the Jewish Bible that created distinctions between people. He mingled with them. He ate with them, fellowshiped with them, served them as he would his own family. In that way, Paul became like them in every way. He had put aside his Jewishness and the law in order to win the Gentiles over to the faith in Christ. I became like you. And then Paul goes on to say, I plead with you, become like me. So first, I became like you, and now, become like me. He's talking about freedom in Christ, because when he met Christ, he became free in Christ. And now he wants the Gentiles to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ and experience the freedom he now enjoys. The freedom which results from Christ living in us, manifesting his grace and truth in its fullness in our lives. And this freedom is not one that allows us to live as we wish and according to our sinful desires. No. This freedom allows Christ to be formed in us. That is the meaning of verse 19, where Paul pleads with the Galatians, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, become like me. Let Christ be formed in you." In Galatians 2:20, Paul speaks of his own freedom in Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So become like me. And Paul is saying, you ought to die as I died to sin and to the law, and live by faith in Jesus through the Spirit of God, so that Jesus' life in you might mold you in his likeness until you become like him and can manifest him in and through your life. I became like you, now become like me. I kept the law of Moses strictly and all its demands. I despised anyone who was not a Jew. My understanding of God had no emphasis on love and care for people. But when I came to Christ, I realized we are one in Christ, and love for one another has become paramount to me in all things. The theology here is about love and law. Now, friends, it would be cumbersome for me to rehearse the 613 laws that Pharisees were expected to keep. But I find it helpful to apply the principle of law and love to our context today. There are many churches that teach all kinds of laws and hardly speak about values of love and relationships in a way that promote unity and the good life. They teach about the law of seed sowing and tithing and their material rewards. They teach about the law of unreserved allegiance to a man or woman of God for benefiting some kind of grace or anointing. They teach about the law of attending church meetings almost every day of the week with the promise of material blessings for doing so. From midweek prayers to Bible studies to choir practice and house fellowships, they teach about the laws of using pictures of powerful men and women of God for protection, the laws of anointing oil, of holy water, and other religious paraphernalia as forms of protection from evil, and you name the rest. We don't hear very much about the values of good and sustainable family and other relationships. We hear very little about love for husband and wife and children and neighbors. And when people are taught to pray against the progress of their enemies and that they may die instead of reconciliation, then that kind of Christianity is bound to multiply evil and not curb it. That is why in some parts of the world, such as in Africa, Christianity is burgeoning in similar proportions with evil and hatred. Corrupt and wicked politicians who remain in power for as many decades as their greed and power can keep them occupy front seats in our churches. We don't chastise them for their bad government, and we don't hear much about ethical values that can stop human barbarism and sin and corruption. We don't hear much about teachings that can help sow seeds of love for people and for country. I know that we need laws to govern our churches, but the much more profound law is the law of love. That is what changed in Paul's life when he met the risen Savior. So he decided to become like the Galatians. And then he wanted the Galatians to become like him, to allow Christ to be formed in them and to enjoy freedom in Christ and salvation from the clutches of sin and condemnation. Dear friend, we cannot purchase our salvation ourselves. Only Christ can do it for us. Elizabeth Keckley was a slave in Missouri, United States of America, before the Civil War. Her greatest desire was to purchase freedom for herself and her son. Her owner agreed that if she could raise $1,200, she could gain her freedom. Keckley worked as a seamstress and came up with a plan to go to New York City and work there to raise the money. but her owner feared that she would not return. Instead, some of her wealthy clients in St. Louis contributed the money she needed, and Elizabeth Keckley paid the price for her freedom as well as her son's. She moved to Washington, D.C., where she counted Mary Lincoln among her dressmaking clients. Without the help of someone else, Keckley would never have been able to purchase her freedom. My dear friends, all of us were enslaved to sin with no hope of ever gaining freedom. In mercy and compassion, Jesus gave his life for us, purchasing our salvation by shedding his blood on the cross. We are now free from sin, but that freedom does not mean that we do whatever we want. Instead, we are to live how Jesus wants us to live. Lord Jesus Christ, you are truly free. You have offered us your freedom, but we have lacked the courage to accept it. Lead us into the freedom that your truth makes possible. On earth, you were free from the fear of what others were thinking. Often we are afraid to say what we think or to do what we ought because we fear what others may think about us. You were free to accept people for themselves and not just as members of groups. This we find hard to do and often judge others unjustly because of the company they keep. You were free from the wish to amass earthly goods and so were ready to leave your home and to depend on others for food and shelter. In a burning desire to achieve independence, we wrongly rely on the things we possess. Secure in the knowledge of your Father's love, you were free from the need to assert your own importance. When someone called you good, you turned him away from praising you to praising the Father. We so often look for praise and recognition for ourselves. Release us from the burden of our failures and give us the same freedom that you enjoyed on earth. Help us to treat all people as neighbors, whether or not they are of the same color, whether or not they belong to our nation, whether or not they share our political views. Help us to live our own lives without the fear of what others think about us. Set us free from the blind pursuit of material gain. Above all, so help us to experience your love for us, that we do not need to seek for the recognition and praise of men and women, but may know that love is all that matters in the end. Help us, O Father, to trust you and you alone. Amen.